football time.
Here we go, D!
Time to get ready for the weekend.
Hey, man!
This is Jake and TD with Jake Lyman and ESPN Titans NFL Nation reporter Teron Davenport.
Presented by Soul Restaurant Nashville.
Your sports live here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game and the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Jake and TD, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Happy Friday evening, Nashville. Getting you ready for your football weekend. And as always, we are presented by Soul Restaurants Nashville. Jake Lyman and ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter Teron Davenport alongside you until 7 p.m. Going to recap Sunday's game in Detroit for the Titans and look ahead to the homecoming here after a couple of weeks on the road as the Titans will take on the Patriots on Sunday afternoon at Nissan Stadium. TD, how's your week been? Got to go up to Detroit there for a little bit.
Yeah, quick trip to Detroit was good. Today was even better, man. Got to meet Daryl Strawberry this morning.
Wow.
At the Fellowship of Christian Athletes breakfast. And it was, yeah, man. Shout out to Les Stecko. Shout out to Lee Brown. And actually, you know what? The biggest shout out to Paul Kaharsky for
really
helping me be able to have an opportunity to go to the breakfast. He plugged me in with the right people. So, you know, PK is not the jerk that everyone thinks he is. You know, he saw that I am a, obviously, as I wear the OMG.
Yeah, you got the OMG
sweatshirt,
merch on.
I'm a big Mets fan, and he knew, you know, that would be something to make my day, make my week, and it did.
That's really cool. That's really cool to get to meet a legend like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the offseason now for baseball, so we'll see what
Free
the Mets
agency
have up their sleeve. I know there's been rumors that Juan Soto might want to make the trip across town after his Yankees lost in the World Series earlier this week. Let's talk some football here. Let's start with the game on Sunday in Detroit, TD. I was mentioning to you just before we started recording that I did not get to watch the game live. I had some Vanderbilt responsibilities, so I was kind of just checking the score, and I saw it was 14-14. I saw Calvin Ridley had 120 yards in the first quarter. I was like, man, things are they're playing well up there. I looked away for about 10 minutes, and it was 35-14, and the Lions never looked back. Things really slipped really fast after a strong first quarter from at least the Titans' offense.
Well, yeah, and that's just the way this season has gone, frankly. You look at this team, and they do so well when it comes to the first three drives. So you figure their first touchdown was in on the second drive, so you got 51 of their 120 or so points came in the first three drives of game. So that is something. It just, when you have the issues, right, and the answers that teams have, the way the Lions answered every single big play that, or touchdown, you know, that the Titans had, they answered it with a big play. The long run where Quandre Diggs didn't have the good angle, and you know, Jahmyr Gibbs was able to scoop 70 plus. It's those types of things. You can't win with that happening.
He did the CJ 2K celebration at the end of it too, which you know, as a Titans fan, you don't want to see somebody doing that celebration on your team. But I think the only time CJ ever played up there was that Thanksgiving game back in, I think that was 08. And when him and Lendale White were eating the turkey legs after the game.
Yeah.
So a little homage paid to one of the legends, Chris Johnson, there from Jahmyr Gibbs. The other big plays for the Lions came in special teams. And that's kind of been the talk of the town. Colt Anderson talked to the media yesterday. And there just doesn't seem to be a whole lot of answers for why special teams has been so bad this year. It feels like almost every game, with maybe the exception of the Indianapolis game, there's been some sort of disastrous special teams play or near disaster, like in Miami where punt goes right through a guy's hands.
Almost Calais Campbell almost had it.
Colt Anderson doesn't know the rules on the kickoff where Jaquan Jackson's telling everybody to get away. Like, it's been really bad, and probably the worst special teams performance we've seen on Sunday in Detroit, with 360-plus yard returns between kick and punt.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, look, the first punt in the third quarter, right, the second half, you know, all of a sudden, Khalif Raymond returns it, and we see what happened, man. It's It's crazy, you know, but I don't know what to make of this because there's so many different issues, right? You say, hey, well, you got to account for getting a punt blocked, so you load up there up front to sacrifice coverage. Every team in the league has to account for that, but not every team is having this type of performance. So I don't know what to make of it. They have to get something together. Justin Hardy actually is likely to be – he may even be signed, but he'll at the very least get activated from the practice squad. And he, Brian Callahan said, possibly will be one of the gunners. They have to get it together because you got the gunners. They're either getting walled off or they're running past the returner, and it's just a huge issue.
And you're right. It's been a different issue every single game, whether it's on the field goal against the Packers where Jeffrey Simmons gets called for it. You get two punts blocked. You can't cover punts. You can't cover kicks. It's been a different issue every single week. And I know there's been talk this week of whether Brian Callahan is going to fire Colt Anderson for the issues that they've had on special teams. And I don't know if it's quite there yet. Mm. It's only been 7 games at this point, and it's been bad. But I think you're starting to see that the lack of experience on this coaching staff has been a problem early in this season. Brian Callahan, first-time head coach, first-time play caller. Nick Holes, first-time offensive coordinator, and you can't really put a whole lot on him. He's not calling plays.
Yeah.
Denard Wilson, although I think the defense has been solid under Denard Wilson. He's a first-time DC. Colt Anderson, first-time special teams coordinator. The lack of having a guy who's done it before at the top in that room seems to be at least an issue. Who knows what these guys are going to turn out as coaches once they continue to get more experience, but so far the inexperience has shown a lot.
And that's been a big issue, and I think it's shown in the adjustments, the lack thereof that have happened. I mean, they're trying to adjust to the adjustment, but it's just not happening. You look at second half of football games, you look at outside of those first 3 drives, the scripted drives. I keep driving that point home because when you look at that, it shows you that teams are making adjustments and this team isn't responding. And it's on the coaching staff. It's on the players. You hear some of the players say, hey, we're seeing looks that we didn't recognize. Like, that's not a good thing. There's a lot of growth that has to happen within this staff, within the players as well. One of those players is the quarterback, and that's something that I think is imperative that has to be looked at. And if he doesn't get better, this organization is going to be in trouble for a bit, especially right. If they don't get, you know, a Shedeur Sanders or a Cam Ward. But him not being that guy resets him.
And this it's a big week for the draft order, if that's what you're looking for as a Titans fan. We'll talk about that later in the show a little bit. You're playing a team that only has 2 wins. You know, this could be a game that flips you. Maybe you're picking 2nd if you lose. You could be picking 6th if you win. Mm-hmm. Not saying you should root for your team to lose, just putting it out there that this could be a big week for that. And we'll talk more about that later. Quickly on the offensive play calling, because I haven't had a major issue with Brian Callahan's play calling so far this year. I think he's done a decent job for being a first-time play caller, but everybody's going to point to that goal line sequence at the end of the first half where you have 1st and goal on the 1-yard line, you throw the ball 4 times, you end up not scoring any points.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that changes the outcome of the game at all. It would have made it 35-21 going to the half instead of 35-14. But it is mildly concerning for him to come out and say, well, we couldn't run it because we didn't want to lose chances at the end zone. It's like, well, you had a timeout.
Yeah, you had a timeout. I literally said that. Well, you had a timeout.
You could have run it once, and if you didn't get in, then you can start throwing it. It just felt like it was a major mistake from Brian Callahan to not at least give Tony Pollard 1 shot at it to try and push it into the end zone.
Yeah, it was, looking back on it, they kind of recognized that, but their explanation was those were 4 plays, red zone ones, that they definitely had up as one of their best ones. The thing that was just interesting to me is it was on the boundary side of the field, the short side, right? So, okay, it's cool to have, and 2 of those were outbreaking routes. So it was like, why not have that to the field side, formation it differently, flip the formation, and play to where all of the field is, the wide side of the field.
Where you can run away from the guy defending
you. Yeah, you have opportunity to create separation. They didn't. I don't know. Again, Nick Holtz, he said, when you look at it. He said that hindsight's 20/20. Would we run again? Yeah. But, again, those were the plays that they wanted, the red zone plays. They had the matchups that they wanted. I just think they left points on the board.
Yeah, and, again, I don't think it would have impacted the result of the game either way. You lose 52-14. You're not a play or two away from winning that football game. But it is one that you'll point to and say that's the inexperience of Brian Callahan and Nick Holtz, that they needed to see that situation and show, okay, well, maybe next time we'll do this. And you got to have patience with guys doing it for the first time, but definitely a situation the Titans would want to have back up there in Detroit on Sunday. Titans fall 52-14 to the Lions. They are now 1-6 on the season, heading into this weekend's matchup with the Patriots. We'll talk about that game coming up later in the show. But coming up next, let's talk about maybe some trade candidates. We did a little bit of this last week. The trade deadline is coming up on Tuesday. And a couple of guys may have increased their draft stock on Sunday in Detroit. We'll talk about that coming up next. Jake and TD, presented by Soul Nashville, here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
In these times of frustration, like, true character comes out. Like, what it makes you feel, you guys had a leadership in place to, I'm not going to say turn it around, but at least get it respectable.
Yeah, I tell a lot of, like, I've been telling a lot of guys, hey, man, that tape is your resume. What you put out on that tape is you, no matter if you think that's not you or whatever the case may be, it's out there and it's on you. So we have to continue to put out good things on tape.
That was Arden Key talking with TD after the game on Sunday. Good question from TD asking about, you know, how do you stay motivated in these games where you're already 1-6? There might not be a ton to play for in terms of the standings. And Arden Key saying that your tape is your resume, and he has certainly put some things on tape in the last couple of weeks that maybe would get him some job offers, to say the least. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport with you. Jake and TD, presented by Soul Nashville. TD, trade deadline coming up on Tuesday, and Arden Key, who I don't think anybody really was mentioning as a possible trade candidate heading into the last couple weeks. He had a sack in Buffalo. He had two sacks in Detroit. Maybe a guy that is turning some heads that could end up netting you a mid-round pick on Tuesday if somebody is able to come with an offer.
I mean, look, there's 4 days left, so we'll see. That definitely is something, and ironically, it's funny, the fan, like some of the timeline, it was saying, hey, maybe he's playing, trying to get traded. He wants to get out of there, so he's balling, which is a hilarious way of looking at it. Like as if he wouldn't play hard anyway, but, you know, that's right. A different thing. I think he's a candidate. I think he would actually be a good fit for the Lions. Obviously, you have the connection there with Terrell Williams, so that would be a good fit. He's definitely someone that, if I'm a team, I'm in need of pass rush help. He's obviously not a sack artist to the highest power, but he's a guy that could come in and give you some pressures and give you some solid play.
Yeah, the Lions aren't going to replace Aiden Hutchinson at the deadline. Like, you're not going to find – I know there was talk for a little bit there that Lions were in on Max Crosby or Myles Garrett. Those guys have since – they've come out and said those guys are not getting moved. Right. But you can find a rotational guy who's going to add to your pass rush, and that could be an Arden Key. Maybe you're right. Maybe that was, hey, I'm heading up to Detroit. That was his job interview. Like, hey, what can
come
you do?
Come get me.
See if you can you can get out of there. Arden Key, I don't think that that's actually what his motivation was. I don't think he's actually trying to get out of there specifically or requesting a trade or anything like that. But, you know, with what he's put on tape, that's something that maybe teams are going to call about. I know we mentioned Harold Landry last week. That doesn't seem as realistic of him being moved.
It wasn't realistic last week either, honestly, but
Harold Landry, it feels like he is somebody that the Titans want to be around for this, you can call it a rebuild or whatever. As they're trying to build back up, I think guys like Harold Landry and Jeffrey Simmons are guys they want to build around on the defense instead of trading those guys away for what would probably, Harold Landry with that contract, maybe you get second, third would be the most.
Yeah, second or third. I don't think the contract's actually not bad. I mean, 2 years of control at $17 million for a double-digit sacker, that's a good deal, right? But still, like you said, he is a part of that foundation pressing forward. You know, one of the players they have that you could say, okay, this is one of their best players.
Right. He can be a pillar of that defense for the next few years. Like, even if you want to call it a rebuild, I don't think the Titans are saying it's going to be 3 or 4 years before they're competitive again. They want to be starting that ramp-up process now and into next year, where you still have guys like Jeffrey Simmons and Harold Landry and L'Jarius Sneed in their primes.
Exactly.
And so those guys need to be around. And if you, we mentioned last week, if you trade away Harold Landry, your pass rush on the edge is just gone.
It's what's left of it is, yeah, it's it's not good, right? And so you definitely want to keep him. And everybody says, okay, trade him to get a draft pick. But guess what you're going to have to draft if you trade him? Well, regardless, you're going to have to draft it, and that's a pass rusher. And you're like, okay, well, I want to draft this guy to become that guy. Why not go with what you have right now?
Keep the guy
that's not old, that's not disgruntled, that is still productive.
Yeah, it's not like Harold Landry's asking out right now. Like,
right.
If you can hold on to a guy like that, I think you keep him. I don't think you're going to see any big moves from the Titans over the next few days as we lead up to the trade deadline. No. What would you say percentage-wise that any move is made at this point now that you've already sent away DeAndre Hopkins and Ernest Jones?
Yeah, I would probably say 75 to 80%.
That something else is going to happen?
No, that it
doesn't. Nothing happened. Okay,
that
gotcha.
That doesn't happen. I don't see them making any moves.
Right.
You know, I would be curious if Treylon Burks was healthy, if something would happen there. But, I mean, look, you got the Jets with Mike Williams, and he's not traded. So the receiver thing has kind of – The Ravens, I think, may have kind of put a bow around the receiver gallery carousel, so to speak, when they went out and got Deontay Johnson, which was a good trade for them, you know?
Yeah, added a guy who, when he's had a competent quarterback back there, has looked pretty good with Carolina. Mm-hmm. He didn't look great with Bryce Young, but those few games with Andy Dalton, Deontay Johnson was putting up numbers with the Panthers. So good move there for the Ravens. I'm kind of with you. I think the Titans got their moves out of the way, and of course, there's always the possibility of somebody calling Rand Carthon and offering, I don't know, a fourth-round pick for Quandre Diggs or something. Like, so just something ridiculous where Rand Carthon can't say no. But I would say at this point, it doesn't seem like they're out actively shopping.
Right. It's I mean, obviously, you know, there's always a chance. What Kevin Garnett say, anything's possible.
Anything's possible.
Yeah, but it's not likely.
Arden Key, again, maybe a guy who's popped up on some radars, but it does not seem like the Titans are going to make a ton of other moves, but they have gotten themselves a few more picks for next year's draft, and you know, if that gives you more flexibility, you can move around and makes up for already giving away that third-round pick for L'Jarius Sneed. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport with you here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. We're presented by Soul Nashville. When we come back, we're going to talk about this game against the Patriots. Maybe not one of the more intriguing games on the NFL schedule this week with a 1-6 Titans squad and a 2-6 Patriots team, but this could have huge draft order implications, and we'll talk about that coming up next. Jake and TD, presented by Soul Nashville here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Jake and TD, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We're talking Tennessee Titans here on the show up until 7 p.m. Getting ready for this Titans and Patriots game on Sunday noon kick over at Nissan Stadium. Titans 1-6, Patriots 2-6. Maybe the one game the rest of the way where the Titans are actually favored. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport with you. TD, this game, I mentioned it heading into the break. I don't think the ratings on this game nationwide are going to be all that good. I saw the coverage map for like the CBS, and it's pretty much Middle Tennessee and New England are getting this game, and that's about it.
They may not be good in those markets, frankly. This is, you know, teams love, or fans, they love scoring. This is a team where a game where neither team offensively, you're talking about like the 30th and 32nd ranked offenses. Whew.
Patriots are coming off a win, though. They did beat the Jets last week, which I know Titans fans, after that loss to the Lions, seeing the Browns and Patriots get a win, it moved the Titans up into the number two spot in the draft order, which, again, I hate that we are on November 1st right now talking about the draft order, but that's where you are when you're 1-6.
It's what happens when your team plays that poorly in all three phases. Defense is okay, solid. offensively, special teams is just it's a mess, and that's why they find themselves in this position.
And that's where you are. You're looking at mock drafts. You're talking about these quarterbacks who are coming out. You mentioned Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward. It seems like those two guys have kind of become the 1A, 1B of this draft class. Still a long way to go in terms of the rest of the college season, combine, interviews, all this stuff. We've seen it happen where guys that maybe you didn't think would be top five shoot their way up.
And, yeah, like J.J. McCarthy last year.
Right.
I don't know who could be that this year, though.
The group behind those two, it seems like it's Milrow, who has, obviously he's fallen off since that Georgia game where his stock was probably at the highest.
Yeah, he was first round status.
Carson Beck was the number one guy heading into the season, and he is
keep him too.
Quinn Ewers has been injury prone. He made some throws against Vanderbilt on Saturday, but you know he hasn't been as consistent as you would like. I think those three, and then Garrett Nussmeier has been starting to get some hype as a first-round quarterback, too.
And there's a certain media, Easton Freeze, you know, he and I, we go back and forth a lot. If you check our text thread, like, you'll see back and forth. We go back and forth about everything, right? But he had the Nuss bus. He's like, hey, you know, that's a guy that could come out of nowhere. And I'm like, man, this dude is not good. You know, and it was funny the back and forth in that game because, right, Nussmeier had like 260, 270 in the first half.
Yeah, it looked
like,
great.
I'm like, yeah. And he was like, Dane Brugler has him as his top guy. And I'm like, look, I say what you want. I trust myself against Dane Brugler. I feel I know how to look at players. I said, I don't care what his opinion is. Nussmeier is not that guy. Sure enough.
Fell apart.
A half hour later, interception. You know what I mean? And, yeah, I don't.
It's tough this year. And I was listening to Jared yesterday. It might have been during the power hour, just saying, like, it's a bad year to be bad because Sanders and Ward are probably first-round quarterbacks. But are they Trevor Lawrence, Andrew Luck, Joe Burrow? Like, there is no clear-cut, this is the number one quarterback prospect. And then everybody else is probably a second or third round guy.
Yeah.
You might see one of those guys sneak in because, again, as we were saying, it always happens. Like, at this time last year, would you have said J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix, and Bo Nix would go in the top 12? Absolutely not.
No.
But I don't know if we're going to have that again this year. I would think it's probably going to be Sanders, Ward, and then one of that group that we mentioned will probably be a first round pick.
Yeah, and whoever does, like,
you're reaching.
Reaching a lot. I mean, the Vikings, I feel, reached majorly. I think the Falcons reached. I like Michael Penix as a quarterback.
But eighth overall?
I definitely didn't expect that.
The Titans are hoping to be in the position because no matter what the quarterback class looks like, having a higher pick is never bad because it gives you options. If you do like one of the quarterbacks, you have the ability to take them. Mm-hmm. If you don't, maybe somebody else does and will trade to come up and you can restock that draft capital that the Titans have been trying to do all year long, basically, with these trades. This is a big week to see where you're going to end up in the draft order. You've got the Patriots coming in. A loss this week, then you have two games separation with the Patriots. Who knows what's going to happen with the Browns? The Jets won last night to get to three wins.
Yeah.
The Panthers play the Saints this week. I thought that might be a spot for the Panthers to get the second win, but it does look like Derek Carr is going to play on Sunday, which is disappointing.
It is. It is. If you're looking at it from that perspective as a Titans fan, it is disappointing. It's tough for me because knowing I looked Tyler Boyd in the face and talked to him about this whole tanking thing and look on his face of disgust, and it's not just Tyler Boyd. It's Quandre Diggs. It's Kenneth Murray Jr.
Right.
There's a bunch of guys. Like, they have no interest in tanking because, you know, they put a lot of work in. And I say it time and time again, Sunday is the prize, right? The process is Monday through Saturday. The prize is Sunday, right? And the prize on Sunday is winning.
Right.
If you don't win, that process is like, man, I'm going through the process and not getting the prize. Who wants to do that?
No one in that locker room is looking at draft orders. I believe PK asked Jeffrey Simmons about it. Like, Is it like I don't know what the exact wording of the question was. I thought it was a little bit strange to ask a player about the draft order, but Jeffrey Simmons was like, "We don't care. Like, yes, it's great. If we do pick high, it's great. These guys can come help us, but nobody's looking at that. We want to win on Sunday," which is why I think the Titans are going to win on Sunday. The Patriots are coming off a win, and you look at these rosters, and I know we've said it. The Titans roster has talent on it. I think the Titans are a better team than the Patriots. Could they implode and make massive mistakes on special teams and offense again and lose? For sure. And I think then you look at it as, well, okay, we lost. At least our draft position might have gotten better. But I think the Titans, it's not easy to lose four straight games in the NFL.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to see a better effort from that team on Sunday. Obviously, it depends on the quarterback situation, whether Will Levis or Mason Rudolph is out there, but I just find it hard to believe that they're going to lose to this Patriots team that I don't really see a whole lot of talent on that squad. A rookie quarterback out there. They're coming off a win. I think they're going to come back to earth. I think the Titans do get it done on Sunday.
I think they get it done, but I'm sorry. This Titans team is not one that you could expect to win any game.
No, and I wouldn't expect it.
I can't convincingly say they're going to win. There's a good shot. I'll put it that way. But they just have not played good enough in any aspect of football to, you know, it's going to be a matchup. If you're gambling, I would suggest taking the under because these are two teams that just they've struggled. You realize they've scored more than 17 points once.
One time. Yep. They got to 30.
They have one 100-yard receiver.
And he got it all in one quarter. Yeah. I will rephrase and say I won't say I think the Titans are going to win. I will say this is the game I think the Titans have the best chance to win the rest of the way.
No, I agree. I agree with you thinking they're going to win, but
maybe Jaguars at home would be another one that you look at and you say, okay, the Titans could be favored in that one. I think the Titans are about 3-point favorites in this game. Which home team gets 3 points, I think, is kind of the rule. So
there
it's basically both these teams aren't very good. Home team gets a little bump here, I think is basically how it's looking.
That's it, man.
Again, as I said, I'm not, and I think Titans fans, most of them probably out there think the same way, I'm not going to sit down and watch this game and hope the Titans lose. I think every fan of every NFL team wants to sit down and watch their team have success.
Yeah.
But it's a nice consolation prize at this point in the season when playoffs are kind of out of the question that if you do lose, you're putting yourself in a better position for the future.
I would say it softens the loss.
Right.
But, I mean, you know, you go to a game. Like, I went to game 3 at the NLCS, right? And I'm like, I didn't go to see him lose.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you, after that, you're just so stuck. Like, I remember I'm sitting in my seats and I'm just looking. They had to say, like, all right, come on, man. You got to get out of here. Because I'm just so disgusted.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Titans fans have that same feeling after a lot of these games. So, yeah, I mean, the losing gets you a better draft pick. But then who's the guarantee that draft pick's going to be good?
Right.
That was another point that Tyler Boyd made.
Yeah, it's you're giving yourself a better chance in the lottery by losing, but that doesn't mean that your lottery ticket's going to hit. Exactly. We've seen plenty of top 5 picks end up washing out of the league. Mm-hmm. I mean, the hit rate hasn't been great on quarterbacks in the first round at all lately. I'm trying to think of, I mean, last year.
It's been tough. Man.
Last year, you already look. C.J. Stroud is the only one who is starting on his team still.
Yeah.
Bryce Young benched, and Anthony Richardson this week benched within a year and a half of getting drafted.
It's microwave society, man. I asked Brian Callahan about that, and he didn't say what the Colts are doing is crazy or what the Panthers are doing are crazy, but he just said, like, it's really wild how this position that's one of the hardest to play in sports just doesn't get the opportunity to develop.
And the quarterbacks who do get time are having success. Patrick Mahomes is the one that everybody points to. But look at Jordan Love. Jordan Love, he was a raw project quarterback coming out of Utah State. Mm-hmm. Like, there was not a ton there that made you think this dude could be an NFL quarterback, but there were some tools. And the Packers, well, from his stats, I should say.
Okay, statistically. But no, watching him, like, right. There was a lot of ability. I fell in love seeing him firsthand at the Senior Bowl. I fell in love with his ability.
Right. But I would equate it to kind of Josh Allen coming out of Wyoming.
Whereas it's more upside than yes. Now. Yeah.
Yes. Like Josh Allen, he had like a 52% completion percentage his senior year at Wyoming and got picked 7th overall. And I think a lot of people were looking at it as, what did they see in this guy?
The measurables, man.
The size, the speed, the arm strength.
And then just the, like Josh Allen apparently tested really well, like in the personality stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
But I think the point is, it's like, you can't judge these quarterbacks off of, I mean, Anthony Richardson, how many starts does he have?
It was 12 starts. Like, you know,
well, how many starts does he have this as an NFL quarterback? He had four last year.
Maybe three, I would say, this year.
So, like, they're judging him on less than 10 starts.
It's like, that is an experiment on how, it's a step-by-step booklet on how to not do a QB.
Yeah.
Okay, you look at him, he's a project, he's a developmental guy. Okay, we're going to make him start right away. And, by the way, we're going to make him get injured because we're going to run him all the time. And then, you know what? The second year, what we're going to do is watch him get hurt, but then put him back in the game and run him again so he could get hurt even worse.
And I get the tapping was not a good look for him. And then telling the media that he just asked to come out of the game. Not a good look. But, man, the Colts, you had a journeyman veteran quarterback last year who could have started. Like Gardner Minshew, he nearly got them to the playoffs last year as when he was out there when Anthony Richardson was hurt. Just put Gardner Minshew in there and let Anthony Richardson sit. I don't get it. And I get it. There's not a lot of patience because you want to get another swing at the quarterback position.
And my thing is, if you're going to play him, play him.
Yeah.
Play him. Like, if you're going to subscribe to you get better by playing moniker, play
him out there.
Give him a chance. Don't have him. Me personally, I feel like this. Signing Flacco, in my opinion, was a bad decision.
Yeah.
In my opinion, because you sign a Flacco who was coming off of what he did in Cleveland, and this is a guy that, look, Joe Flacco is not there to, you know, hey, I'm not there to be your mentor. I will help you. It's just like the Ryan Tannehill situation.
Right.
Joe Flacco is there because he wants to play.
Yeah.
Right? And so now you look at this situation. Anytime something goes wrong, you got the people clamoring for Flacco and boom, and it's not good for your court. And that's another way they failed him.
And with the Titans, Mason Rudolph is fine, but after watching him the last 2 weeks, there's no quarterback controversy.
No.
When Will Levis is healthy, he's going to be the starting quarterback. And as much as people are out on Will Levis, there's still a lot of games left in this season.
A lot.
And he's going to go out there and he's going to get his chances. Would I guess it's going to turn around? Probably not, but there's always a chance, and
yeah,
he's going to get his opportunities.
You never know.
We're going to talk about Will Levis coming up next to wrap up the show. Could he come back on Sunday? And do we see, with Will Levis back in the lineup, do we see Calvin Ridley's momentum from last week carry over and start to see him become a true number one wide receiver? We'll talk about that next. Jake and TD, presented by Soul Nashville, here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Jake and TD, one final segment here on this Friday evening, getting you set for your football weekend, presented by Soul Nashville. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, getting ready for Titans and Patriots Sunday afternoon at Nissan Stadium. Titans 1-6, Patriots 2-6. Big game for drafts, the draft order and draft stock and where the Titans may end up picking in April. But also, if the Titans want to get back on track and get a win, this is a good opportunity. Could see Will Levis back in the lineup for the first time since the Indianapolis game. TD, questionable, I believe, is the official designation for Will Levis,
yeah,
or at least what Brian Callahan said after practice today. But throwing much more this week, and looks like he is ramping up to possibly play against the Patriots on Sunday.
Yeah, it does look that way, and it's different this week in that he was able to throw back-to-back days, didn't feel sore, he actually felt good, that's what he said on Thursday, and then just in watching him on Thursday, like, he was launching the ball. Like, it wasn't just a little soft toss, loosening. He was launching it. So that's a good thing. And It was like the Colts game was a learning lesson, and Brian Callahan spoke about that earlier, in that it helped him understand, like, hey, you know what? It is a field thing, but I do have to understand that maybe once I get to the game, I might have to use a part of it that I'm not really able to simulate in practice. And sure enough, that's what happened on the throw where it was intercepted. And I think that's a really good observation. Now you got to learn from it and understand, be in touch with your body and be communicative with it, which is something that Levis said he's going to do going forward. I love how Callahan said, hey, look, that's my decision, end of the day, but we will take into consideration how he feels.
I think this Will Levis situation is really interesting because knowing what we know now about the injury, I don't know if you can really take the Colts game as a true factor into his development, because he wasn't 100% and he wasn't able to do all of the things that he's usually able to do. So given that, we really only have 3 full games of Will Levis this year. And do we know enough about him to make a determination either way? I don't know. I'm excited to see him after this reset. Hopefully these couple of weeks off have given him some time to, you know, mentally get back into where he needs to be. Because I'm sure that the events of those first 2 weeks and the blowback from his turnovers, it had to have shaken his confidence a little
person.
Bit.
He's a person.
I mean, the memes out there and everything about the pick six and then doing it almost the exact same thing the next week, I think this mental reset could be important for Will Levis.
And he said that. He said that. Get an opportunity to unplug and get away and watch the game from a different perspective was good for him. And he's right. But he still went back to the conclusion that the best way you get better is by playing. And this is something that Brian Callahan has said multiple times. We want him to play. We got to see him play. You don't really know what you have until you play a game with them. And they're still playing, and to your point, it's been 3 games. Now, I will say, in those 3 games, there are some things that make you like, oh, this process stinks. But you still have to look back. Like, for me, it's the Dolphins game from last year.
Yeah.
For me, it's a couple throws from the Falcons game from last year. For me, it's the first and 16. Or was it fourth and 16? It was first and 16 coming out of the timeout.
The Steelers game.
Like, those are the things that make me like, I think he could be the guy. But then you see some of these things, you're like, yeah, I don't know. So, look, man, Brian Callahan, better you than me. Rand Carthon, better you than me. But understand that, we'll be watching the whole time.
It does have a different look to it this year. Last year, I felt like Will Levis dropping back, you could see the swagger and the confidence with him. That's been missing a little bit this year. I'm hoping to see that. And it just felt like, even when he made the wrong decision, he was going to do it 100% last year.
Yeah.
Like, I know he talked in I believe it was the Athletic article that he was interviewed for about, he made a throw that it was the complete wrong decision, but he threw it 50 yards downfield and hit Treylon Burks in the hands. Like, those things where he just had so much confidence in his ability, which can get you in trouble sometimes.
Mm-hmm. But, and that was always my issue with him.
But you need a little bit of that with him too.
That's
part of what makes him great. Also, what makes him make a lot of mistakes.
Yeah, it's a gift and a curse.
Yes,
it is a gift and a curse. And I think what you have to look at is what he said. I think it was after the Colts. Yeah, it was after the Colts game where he talked about like, okay, yeah, there's some deep shots that you want to take, but you're like, okay, if I go there and bypass these reads, I get sacked. But then if I bypass the deep shot and don't get sacked, and it's like, that's the thing that you're talking about. And so anytime it's like the hamster running on the wheel, it's just going in circles, like the dog chasing his own tail.
Yeah.
It's hard to process and hard to, you know, go where he has to go with the football and find the guys that make the right reads. And I think there's just, they have to find a way, and I personally think that's play action, flooding one side of the field and giving them, you know, quick reads. I think playing the way the Lions played, I think that would really help him, a lot of play action and like that, just to clear it up and just make things more concise.
Last week, we saw Calvin Ridley kind of become unlocked. We saw after a couple of down weeks, he went off in that first quarter. 6 catches, 128 yards in the first quarter for Calvin Ridley.
He went off, man.
Probably could have been more if he just ran down the sideline.
He talked about that. He said, look, it was funny as he described it because I pictured it and started laughing because he said he looked like to the side and he and the safety locked eyes and it was like the safety was right there. You know, and that's why he cut it back because he thought, you know, the
he
guy
thought
was
he
right
could
there.
Get him to overrun it a little bit.
Yeah,
but
because he didn't realize he was like he thought he was closer than he was.
Right. I'm sure in the moment it feels different than when we're looking at it from the overhead camera and seeing like, well, he just ran right into the safety.
Yeah.
But Calvin Ridley looked great last week. Do we think that that can continue even if it is Will Levis jumping back in there?
Yeah, I don't know about. You know, 10 catches or all of that. But I think that is something to build upon and can continue. And just in watching them still doing a lot of the similar things as far as working on the lobster, which is the tennis ball launcher, being on the jugs machine and those things. So, yeah, and it's just something to his point. Your confidence comes from your hard work. Like if you go into a game prepared, like you're going to be confident. Like if you feel prepared. You're always going to the game prepared, but if you feel that, your confidence is going to be through the roof, and I think that's the situation that he's finding himself in.
Titans and Patriots, noon on Sunday at Nissan Stadium. Titans trying to snap a 3-game losing streak and get their second win of the season. Quickly, before we get out of here, TD, big college game this weekend, Penn State, Ohio State.
Yeah.
Huge one in the Big Ten. That one should be fun. I want to get your thoughts. I hate that it's a noon kickoff.
I do too.
I know that that's the Fox thing, is their big noon kickoff, but that's a game that deserves prime time.
That was in Penn State, right?
Yeah. We need a night game whiteout for that.
Exactly. That's why I asked. But that, man, that whiteout, watching those, I know people that have gone to those games, and it's a different experience. So, yeah, college football, you know you messed up, right?
Yeah.
Now, you know you done messed up, right?
We do have Gus Johnson on the call, I believe, though, so that might make up for it. Gus Johnson.
Somewhat.
Gus Johnson for a big college football game. It doesn't get much better than that.
Absolutely.
Should be a fun one. Lots of NFL talent on the field for both teams in that game, and should be a fun football weekend. We hope you've enjoyed spending your Friday evening with us. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, we are always presented by Soul Restaurants Nashville. We'll be right back here same time next week, 6 to 7 on Friday night. Titans and Patriots on Sunday. Hope you enjoy the game. Hope you enjoy your football weekend. We'll be back next week here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.